Hello, friends. I'm Pastor Pitts Evans. Welcome to the Whole Word Podcast. Let's get right to the Word of God. Isaiah 57. The righteous perish, and no one takes it to heart. The devout are taken away, and no one understands that the righteous are taken away to be spared from evil. Those who walk uprightly enter into peace. They find rest as they lie in death. But you, come here, you children of a sorceress, you offspring of adulterers and prostitutes, you who are mocking, at whom do you sneer and stick out your tongue? Are you not a brood of rebels, the offspring of liars? You burn with lust among the oaks and under every spreading tree. You sacrifice your children in the ravines and under the overhanging crags. The idols among the smooth stones of the ravines are your portion. Indeed, they are your lot. Yes, to them you have poured out drink offerings and offered grain offerings. In view of all of this, should I relent? You have made your bed on a high and lofty hill. There you went up to offer your sacrifices. Behind your doors and your doorposts, you have put your pagan symbols. Forgetting me, you uncovered your bed. You climbed into it and opened it wide. You made a pact with those whose beds you love, and you looked with lust on their naked bodies. You went to Molech with olive oil and increased your perfumes. You sent your ambassadors far away. You descended to the very realm of the dead. You wearied yourself by such going about, but you would not say, "It is hopeless." You found renewal of your strength, and so you did not faint. Whom have you so dreaded and feared that you have not been true to me, and have neither remembered me nor taken this to heart? Is it not because I have long been silent that you do not fear me? I will expose your righteousness and your works, and they will not benefit you. When you cry out for help, let your collection of idols save you. The wind will carry all of them off. A mere breath will blow them away. But whoever takes refuge in me will inherit the land and possess my holy mountain. And it will be said, "Build up, build up, prepare the road. Remove the obstacles out of the way of my people." For this is what the High and Exalted One says, He who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the heart of the contrite. I will not accuse them forever, nor will I always be angry, for then they would faint away because of me, the very people I have created. I was enraged by their sinful greed. I punished them, and I hid my face in anger. Yet they kept on in their willful ways. I have seen their ways, but I will heal them. I will guide them and restore comfort to Israel's mourners, creating praise on their lips. Peace, peace to those far and near, says the Lord, and I will heal them. But the wicked are like the tossing sea which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. So some difficult words here, difficult to understand, difficult to hear, but I've got to share them faithfully because they are the word of the Lord. And so this verse 1 is somewhat perplexing. The righteous perish, and no one takes it to heart. The devout are taken away, and no one understands that the righteous are taken away to be spared from evil. Now, friends, that is an entirely different perspective than that of most people. In other words, the Lord is saying that sometimes the righteous die to keep them from experiencing the evil that is coming on the generation in which they live. Now, think about that for a moment. We know a couple of episodes of that are examples of that from the scripture. Hezekiah was told that the The Babylonians would ultimately come and take all the treasures he possessed, but it wouldn't happen in his lifetime. So he would die before it happened, and he rejoiced. He thought that was a blessing, that he wouldn't live to see it. And then the righteous Josiah perished, perhaps in an untimely manner. He might have been taken away to be spared from the evil that was coming on the world, the judgment from the Babylonians that was about to be poured out. Whatever the case, the Lord says, the righteous find peace in death. They enter into peace. They find rest as they lie in death. And then this shifts to a dreadful description of Israel's deeply sinful condition, of their idolatry, saying that they had forsaken the Lord. They've descended into the realm of the dead. He goes on to say that he would expose their sin and the futility of their idolatry. Listen to verse 11. Whom have you so dreaded and feared that you've not been true to me, and have neither remembered me nor taken this to heart? Is it because I have long been silent that you do not fear me? I will expose your righteousness and your works, and they will not benefit you. Now he's talking about the sinners. He would expose the sinful ways. But then he shifts, and he says that he would have mercy and forgiveness for those who cried out to him. Verse 13, when you cry out for help, let your collection of idols help you. But whoever takes refuge in me will inherit the land and possess my holy mountain. So the Lord is saying your heart needs to be turned toward God. In every generation, that's true, friends. We need to turn toward the Lord. He goes on to say, build up, prepare the road, remove the obstacles out of the way of my people. For this is what the high and exalted one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also I live with one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. So the Lord is saying that even though he doesn't suffer sinners willingly with his blessings, he is quick to forgive. He's quick to revive those who repent, and he's quick to dwell with those who turn their hearts toward him. He goes on to say, I will not accuse them forever, nor will I always be angry. Verse 18, I will heal them, I will guide them, I'll restore comfort to Israel's mourners, creating praise on their lips. Peace, peace to those far and near, says the Lord, and I will heal them. So once they repent, once we repent, the Lord is quick to be gracious and to heal. But this closes with a final warning toward the wicked. But the wicked are like the tossing of the sea which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. And friends, I've spent many years working in prison ministry, both in our country and in other countries. And one of the things that is most attractive and missing from the lives of prisoners that are incarcerated in jails around the world is peace. They have no peace, the lack of peace. Of course, they're in a noisy situation. They're in a dangerous situation, but their souls have no rest. And yet, when we come and share the gospel, we can share the Prince of Peace. And even in terrible circumstances, they can enter into the peace of the Lord. But the wicked will remain with no peace. The wicked will be tormented both in this life and the next. Now, I want to return to a verse. Many years ago, and I'll tell you a little story. Many years ago, I went through the entire Bible in both Greek and Hebrew, trying to mark and identify names and titles of God. And one of the unique names and titles of God that I identified for myself comes from this chapter. The words that I'm going to express are from this chapter first, and then I'll give you a different name and title, slightly different wording from the King James. This is the verse, verse 15, the Lord speaking, "For this is what the high and exalted one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy." And then he goes on to say something, which I'll get to in a minute. The King James calls him the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity. I really resonate with that title. God is the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity. Isn't that a wonderful name and title for the living God? The high and lofty one who inhabits eternity. Isaiah was given the privilege of posting that name, attaching that name to the living God, Yahweh, the God of Israel. But what does this God say? He says, I live in a high and holy place, but I also live with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. And so, friends, that's the position you and I need to take. We need to be contrite over our sins. We need to be lowly and desiring God in our spirits. We need to ask the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity to revive our spirits and to dwell with us. And so, Lord, we do pray now. We acknowledge that you are indeed the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity. You are our God and the only true God. Lord, you live in a high and holy place. But Lord, you also say that you live with the ones who are contrite and lowly in spirit. We ask you now, Lord, more than ever before, that you would live with us. Lord, we ask you now more than ever before, you would revive our spirits. You would revive our hearts. God, accept our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Whole Word. It was brought to you by Whole Word Fellowship and the Northern Virginia House of Prayer. If you were encouraged, please share our podcast with your friends. We'd also appreciate it if you'd hit subscribe in your favorite podcast app and take a few moments to write a review. If you'd like more information on our church and our ministry, you can go to wholeword.net or wholewordpodcast.com for more information. Thank you again, and may the Lord Jesus bless you today and always.